What up, fantasy football world? Welcome back to episode 24 of the Air It Out Fantasy Football League podcast, a part of the Air It Out Podcast Network. We are your hosts. I am Chantel.
And I'm Joe.
You can find us on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, Google Podcasts, and now iHeartRadio. Please like and follow us on any of these platforms. You can get notifications of new episodes whenever we upload a new show for you guys. And remember to rate and review the show as well. The more you guys keep those reviews coming, the faster we climb up the podcasting charts. And that's exactly what we want. So also, there is a support this podcast link embedded in each new show description. So if you like what you hear, please feel free to click on that link and show the pod some love. Lastly, follow us at Air It Out Network on Instagram. How's it going? I heard you did some traveling, Joe.
I did. I checked out our nation's capital, got down to Dallas to see the home of Dak and all that good stuff. I miss football, man. I mean, baseball starts in 2 days, but baseball's not football.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a hard time of the year for many NFL fans.
It definitely is. It's How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I am learning the hard way. You know, I've got two teenagers at home.
I do.
And they are both right in that age of like starting to drive, like getting licenses.
Uh-oh,
and
watch out, world.
It's a long way from how it was when we were coming up. It's about to cost me between $800 and $1,000 for my teenager to get a driver's license. So now,
what?
I know, right? So if you're under 18, first you have to take the driver safety course and the permit, to pass the written permit test. That course was like $200.
What?
So did that, pass the test, you get the permit. Once you have your permit, it is no longer valid. It used to be you get a permit, your parents just take you driving and you practice, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore. So if you're under 18, you get, which she is, she's going to be 16, you get the permit. It is not valid until you take a lesson with an actual professional driving instructor.
Ugh.
That one lesson, $200 for 2 hours. What? Then they sign it. And
$100 an hour? I'm doing the wrong thing.
Right. Then they say, oh, good, your permit's valid. Now you can drive with your parents for however many hours, right?
That's
and then in 6 months, you can come back and take the test for your license. If you actually want to get a license before you turn 18, you need 6 hours with a valid training instructor
or whatever.
Right, at $200.
No wonder I see those student driving cars
so
around
much,
more these
exactly.
days. Yeah, I had no idea. I see them all the time.
So it's racking up. But that's going on. We're doing it anyway, though, so because I'm tired of being a personal chauffeur.
Sweet. We were kids. They just gave us keys and said, go. Don't hit anybody. Just go.
Right. Gone. Long gone are those days.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah.
Crazy.
But at any rate, we've been away for a few weeks now, and there is so very much to talk about. I have never been this excited for an upcoming season of NFL football. Is it September yet? Let's get into it.
It's only March. Yikes.
All right.
Okay. We'll
what
start with some headlines and news. There's been two pretty big rule changes very recently, so I'm going to go over those two because they changed the game slightly for us next year. One really changes the game, and one slightly changes the game. I'll start with the slight one. The NFL owners have voted to ban the hip drop tackle.
I saw that.
We talked about that a little bit on the show last year. I'll break it down for our listeners. The hip drop tackle is when a runner is grabbed with both hands or wrapped with both arms, and the tackler drops himself full weight and lands or on trapping the legs at or below the knee of the ball carrier.
Okay.
So you wrap him up, drop all your weight. So imagine you're trying to sit down on your butt, and you end up landing on the guy's legs sometimes.
Okay.
Pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Right?
So this valid.
So now going forward, you and I have seen a few of these last year, and we talked about how dangerous some people get hurt. This type of tackle will result now in a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down.
Okay.
The tackle itself is said to increase the risk of injury by 25 times over the normal tackle.
Wow.
So you're more, 25 times more likely to get hurt using the hip drop tackle than a normal tackle.
Yep.
Kind of like the horse collar when that first became a thing. Remember that? No more grabbing people from behind. How many years ago that was? Same idea. And it's to protect the player. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, agreed.
One of the hardest parts of being an NFL fan and building your teams and being in the fantasy world is injuries, right?
Right.
Anything can help us reduce injuries. So this one I agree with.
Right. And I know a lot of people complain, oh, they're making it soft. But the thing about it is they're making it more enjoyable for all of us down and the health of the players down the stretch. So we want to see everybody who can be on the field actually get out there and play and not be inhibited by these long-standing injuries that are taking them out for, and especially at that rate, that's crazy. That's 25 times more likely to be hurt is insane. So they're definitely justified in that one.
I could agree more. I'm happy to see this go. I was against it last year when we talked about it during the season.
Yeah.
All right, so that's number one. This next one really changes the game. You're going to see it right from the very beginning of the season. The owners voted to fundamentally change the kickoff forever. Ready?
I'm ready.
Under the new rule, 10 players on the kicking team and at least 9 players on the receiving team will line up just 5 yards apart. And they won't begin moving until the ball gets kicked and received by the returner. This is very XFL-like.
Wow.
Meaning players won't be going full speed at impact, which has caused many injuries in the past.
Okay.
I'll give us another one here. The kick will take place from the kicking team's own 35 with his 10 teammates lined up on the opposing team's 40.
Yes.
So they're down the 40. The kickoff's from the 35. The receiving team's blockers will line up on their own 35. So 40, 35, 5 yards apart, and the kicker's on the 35. An out-of-bounds kick that lands short out of bounds or a kick that lands short of the 20-yard line will result in the team that's receiving being awarded the ball at the 40.
At the 40.
At the 40. So if you don't make it to the 20, right, or you kick it out of bounds, ball at the 40. A kick that goes into the end zone for a touchback starts at the receiving team's 30-yard line.
Okay.
So you see the point here. Same kind of idea as the last one we just talked about. It's to save people from getting hurt. You're not taking a full running from your own 40 now as fast as you can to get down there and crush somebody. Thoughts?
Wow, I think that's a big one. I can't wait to see how it actually plays out, like on that first game, and what it looks like. That's a big deal to get the ball on the 40. Yeah. If you don't, which incentivizes them to get it
short of the 20 or out of bounds. So out of bounds is already like that. You kick it out of bounds, and you get it to 40. But that short of thing is new.
So that which means but that's the message that they're sending though, right? So it's not the full speed, like you said, and then it needs to get downfield. You need to get the ball downfield.
You can't move until, say, I'm the receiver. I'm back there waiting to catch the ball.
Right, you can't move until I have the ball.
Yeah, the kicking team cannot move. They're only from the 40 to the goal line, so not very far, but they can't move. So, but by the time they get going and I'm moving, then
it sounds like that's going to result in much better field position for the receiving team.
You would think. I think it might also stop some of the kick returns, like the return for touchdowns, because you're all on top of each other right away. The chance of building big holes, you know, because that takes time. I don't see that happening.
I don't know. It just seems like you have a much better chance of getting much further down the field. If you if they cannot move from the, 35?
35. So
until you have the ball in hand.
So say I'm the receiving team and I got the ball and their guys are on the 40, my guys are on the 35. They're only 5 yards apart. So as soon as I receive the ball and I start moving, our guys
are going to be
right on top of each other.
So that's what I mean. I think that results in much better field position for the receiving team.
Yeah, it could definitely work out.
So I got to see how it shakes up. But that's what I'm betting. I think we're going to see they're going to.
It'll be a major noticeable day one change because that's a rule now and they vote for it. It's against the save injuries and stuff.
Well, we'll see.
It'll look weird.
We'll see.
I've never watched the XFL and that's where it comes from. So we'll see. I guess they've been doing it for a while. We will see. It'll be fun to see in spring training, I guess.
All right.
Next, trades and movement.
Okay.
I'm going to start with.
Before we go to trades and movements, do we want to say farewell, Aaron Donald?
He's in there. Wait.
He's in there.
You're
okay.
Jumping ahead.
Okay. Sorry. I thought that was go under news headlines.
Our dear listeners in the show, we will cover the NFC West today. And in the NFC West, there was one Rams. And on that Rams team, there was an Aaron Donald. We will discuss. We will discuss when we get there.
All right.
So we'll start with people who are still in the league.
All right. We'll start with a big name.
Had a huge impact on the Super Bowl. The Titans have acquired cornerback Legarius Sneed.
Yep.
He's a Pro Bowler and Super Bowl winner, only 27 years old. What do you think this move means for the Titans? Does it make them any more competitive?
I did see that in a pretty what has become a surprisingly very competitive division.
With Houston being better, Indy being better. Yeah.
I think that I was surprised to see this. So I also read that the contract actually makes him one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the league or like of all time or something crazy like that.
Yep.
So I was shocked that the Chiefs let him go. They franchise tagged him, right? But they then still allowed him to go and see and test the water, right? Yeah. Go and so and the Titans came with it, and he's out of there. So I think this is a step in the right direction for the Titans. I don't know how much it will improve them overall, though. I mean, it's a competitive division. They still have, I think, some offensive issues. So I don't know how much
massive
further.
Offensive issues. So right. They're moving away from Tannehill. Obviously, he's gone. So right. It's over with.
And then, Will Vrabel. Levis is there, right?
Will Levis is there
starting. And then Malik is the backup.
Malik will be the backup. Moving away from the Vrabel mentality, which I thought was a mistake to get rid of him. That's going to be a big change.
Right.
And of course, the biggest change is Derrick Henry's
gone. So, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know how beneficial it'll be for him at this point.
Preview them a little more later, but I think he's gone from the Super Bowl champions to a mediocre best team.
Yeah.
But as we get into the AFC South, we'll talk about it a little more. Okay. Still a fantastic player, and he is an impact player. So next one, the one that's going to have me scratching my head. You and I have talked about this 100 times throughout as it became a rumor. Justin Fields, quarterback, is now a Steeler.
Yep.
And the Steelers got a steal. They only gave up a conditional sixth rounder. For a 25-year-old dual-threat quarterback. Now, people will argue that he doesn't have the greatest arm in the world. I think it's good enough. You and I think we're already on board of what we think here. I mean, this is an absolute bank job. They took a guy who has a lot of time left and a lot of talent, and they got him for basically nothing.
So I couldn't be more pleased for where he landed.
Oh, yeah.
Justin, if the Chicago Bears were going to be so foolish as to move off of Justin Fields, like we said over and over, which I don't think they should have.
No.
He couldn't have landed in a better spot. So even if he's not under center day one, right, this season, he's getting the chance to.
He more likely won't be because he'll be behind
Russell. Exactly. Right? So, but behind Russell, which I think is still a Hall of Fame candidate level talent quarterback.
To learn from,
who's in the twilight of his career. So how long, it's not like you're going to sit back there for 5 years. You got at the most.
At the very most. And what does Russell Wilson do well? Throws a really nice deep ball. What does Justin Fields not do well? So you want to learn from somebody, that's probably one of the best you can learn from.
They both got capable legs. And they are now working with a coordinator who is known to like the scheme of the running quarterback, which they both have. It couldn't have shaken out better for him, in my opinion.
That Pittsburgh offense still has a couple pieces to fill in on the wide receiver side, but they have a good tight end.
Well, yeah, because they dumped off a couple, so yeah.
Yeah, but good running backs, a good team. I think they're going in the right direction. Pittsburgh could surprise some people next year. I mean, even though they're a playoff team this year, but that's mostly their defense. And Watt, but I think that offense is going in the right direction.
I think so too.
And
so,
what a steal.
I think it looks bright for him over there for sure.
All right, we'll go from the team that got a steal to the team that gave away for basically nothing. What are the Bears? They acquired a personal favorite of you and me, old Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. Allen is 32 years old, but who knows? Because of the year he came off last year, had a fantastic year for the Chargers.
Right. Yeah.
Led the team receiving touchdowns, all that good stuff, even though he missed two or three games right at the end. When he's healthy, he's one of the best in the game.
And now he's known for that too. He's always in the top route runner. Incredible.
Route runner.
And I think with Keenan Allen, he was asked to restructure. He said no, right? Because he was coming off a monster season.
One of our last couple shows, we talked about the Chargers and the difficulties they had with cap space, which they didn't have. So they did a lot of restructuring. We won't go over the Chargers again too much, but they moved a lot of the contracts they had with Bosa's contract. I moved around a little bit. And he left. So Keenan Allen left. So he's there now opposite one DJ Moore.
Yeah.
So it's clear to me, and I think it's probably clear to all our listeners, including you, what they're doing,
right? Yeah, of course.
They're trying to build the pieces around Caleb Williams, who will probably be the number one. I'd be shocked if it's anything but the number one pick now.
Yeah.
What do you think of that receiving tandem? What do you think?
So I Keenan Allen is incredible. DJ Moore is also very good. I think it's a formidable receiving core for sure.
Yeah.
I think that if they are going to go in that direction, drafting the number one quarterback in this upcoming draft class, they're going about it the right way. The problem is, I think that it, just like any other time, you really don't know what you're going to get until they get on the field. No matter how they could look perfect in every sense of the word, check every single box, and sometimes it just doesn't translate. So what we had initially talked about and the reason for not wanting to move off of his is you've already made some traction. You know what you've got. You can work with it. He's not so terrible that he could not have been coached in that direction. So now going back to the point is that they're going back to square one with that quarterback.
He never had the chance field. He didn't have that kind of team. Never had anything like this around him.
And he never had what they're doing right now. So,
and frankly, that O-line still stinks. Having a terrible, still back there running for your life against good defenses. Detroit has a good defense. You can be running for them. Minnesota has a good defense. So.
Well, they got a chance to change it. The Bears have two picks in the top 10.
They do. They sure do.
They should be able to, they should be able to make some headway with that. So we'll see.
I tend to agree with you. I'm always a little nervous taking a quarterback first overall that, especially with some of the demands of Caleb, the high profile of Caleb. We'll see. It could prove us all wrong.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. So on to the next one. Sam Howell has left the Commanders and will be backing up Geno Smith in Seattle. Only for a fourth rounder, the Hawks get a quarterback with some serious potential. So I like him. Mm-hmm. His numbers were for 3,000 yards, 21 TDs, 21 INTs, I think, for the Commanders last year.
He did okay.
He did okay. But he's young. We forget how young he is. Okay. He's only second year league, so it's got a long time to go. All right, so next one. Panthers acquired wide receiver, talking about the Steelers again. Deontay Johnson has left. He was a little bit unhappy there in Pittsburgh and the way things went and stuff. Right. So he's going to go to the Panthers and still be unhappy.
Well, no, I like that for Bryce Young too, right? I like that for
him. Somebody who needs help around him, it's certainly Bryce Young. Absolutely. He had very little to throw to last year.
Right. He was, Adam Thielen really showed up for him. That became a nice safety blanket. But
sure
I think
that
the other receivers that were thought to be standouts didn't pan out exactly that way.
No, they have a high first, second rounder there too. I can't remember in Carolina who didn't do very much last
year. Yeah, that, and everybody was talking about. I cannot remember the name, but yeah. So I like that for him. I like that move for him there for Bryce Young.
Carolina's can't get any worse. so it was pretty bad last year. So this can only go in the better direction, I guess. Next one, a fave of mine, but I think a fave of yours too. Running back Joe Mixon, a fellow Joe. Left the left the Cincinnati Bengals for the Houston Texans, who are trying to build building a special offense down there, for only a seventh round pick.
Right.
Mixon did get a $19.75 million extension, giving him top seven money for the running back position. Do you think it's deserved?
Do I think it's deserved? I think for his body of work, as they say, when you win an Oscar late in your career.
Yep.
So I think he is a Super Bowl winning running back with the Bengals. There, he did. He's not a bad back. I think this is for work on the back end, if you will, though.
Yeah.
So I wasn't exactly thrilled with him going to the Texans, so I would have liked to see them get someone just a little bit fresher going. They're a very, very young team.
Yeah.
And Mixon has been around the block a time or two, so I would have liked to see a newer piece there. But I think it will do compared to what they came off of. Who was it? I can't remember. He did not do very well there, though. Who did the Texans have? I can't recall, but I'll have to look.
A veteran.
Up so
a veteran.
Right. They had a couple veterans, right?
Yeah.
Was Singletary there for a bit,
that's
too?
Exactly.
Singletary
was
there.
Exactly.
And then there was one more, too. It was another one. So I think Mixon will be better for sure for them, but they're still going to have to add to that down the road. I don't think, that's 1-2 years tops.
Yeah. CJ Stroud, of course, is the star there now. And then the young receiving core. Will he help? Yes. That defense still needs a little more, too. But
they're not a run-first team.
They're
right
certainly
now.
Not.
They're
no,
certainly
no, no,
not
no,
a run-first no, team, pass-first. Which works for Mixon.
Yeah.
So I think not having that heavy workload, he's been hurt a couple times.
Yeah, he has been hurt a couple times.
But I think he will be serviceable for until they get in a position to get something with a little fresher legs.
I think it's definitely a step up from what they had. So good move for him. And then Cincinnati can start thinking about what they want to do next as they have stuff to work on, too.
Right. Cincinnati got... And who went to Cincinnati? It was not a good... Oh, Zach Moss.
Zach Moss.
Yeah, Zach Moss. Zach Moss went to Cincinnati, which is not very...
No, that's a bit of a downgrade, if you're in my opinion.
Definitely a downgrade.
Yeah. So the good thing about Mixon, too, is he's got great hands. He's got great hands. So that'll certainly help him, too, for dump-offs and stuff in a passing offense. That'll help. Okay, next one. Just a guy. Wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Our good old Jag. Thank you, Steve Smith. Traded to the Browns in exchange for a 2024 fifth and sixth round pick. Mr. Jeudy signed a 3-year contract worth up to $58 million with $41 million guaranteed. Good signing?
No.
What is Cleveland thinking?
What are they thinking? So, Jerry Judy.
Did they watch him play in Denver? I watched. Yeah.
He's got an incredible agent. Let's just say that. He's joining a wide receiver room that at the helm is Amari Cooper, right?
Yeah, still.
Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore, good too.
And then on the tight end, David Njoku, cool. Right?
Yeah, who I like
so,
too.
Out of those guys, Cooper was the only one to finish with 1,000 or more yards.
He had a couple of really big games last year. He had that 251-yard game last
year. He finished with 1,250 and 5 TDs, right? Yep. So this Jerry Jeudy acquisition amounts, in my opinion, to a very expensive price tag for very little production. Jerry Jeudy has yet to produce a 1,000-yard season at all.
That's number one numbers he got. And he was barely number two in Denver for all those years.
Right.
So I don't...
Barely. He never hit 1,000 yards in Denver. He got very close. He got like 9-something one season.
And there wasn't huge competition there. I mean, it was Cortland Sutton who was the one. And then he really had the job if he wanted it.
And that was in 4 years.
Yeah.
In 4 years. Yeah. And his best season was at the... was under the quarterback that everybody complains about. So Denver has had its share of ups and downs at the quarterback position.
Sure.
But when they did bring Russell in, I think that was probably Jerry Jeudy's best performance. That was
easily
his best year.
He's the best quarterback.
And that was that 900 yards. And then that was Russell's worst year. Russell got better this past season, and he got worse and finished this season with only 740 something or other, maybe 3 TDs. And so I'm at a complete loss as to
I don't know what Cleveland's thinking
here.
You and I are big Cleveland fans next year, and I like their coach, and I like their defense. And there's a lot of stuff I like there, but that was a head scratcher.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's completely. I don't know.
Beats me.
Money to burn. They got it.
I guess, and that's a lot. So maybe they just saw something that we don't. We'll find out next year. Don't draft them high.
No.
All right, so next, on to the free agents. We'll start with the biggest of the big ones. One Penn State alumni is going back to the great state of Pennsylvania. Mr. Saquon Barkley has left the New York area.
Yeah.
Signed a 3-year, $37.75 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. And highlights here, DeAndre Swift goes to that Bears offense. It's rebuilding.
I know. Well,
so what do we think about Mr. Saquon going to – he can do squats with who's
– So I'm actually looking forward to Saquon going to the Eagles.
Okay.
I was on the fence, I think, a little bit at first, but I'm looking forward and I like the addition. So I think this takes a ton of pressure off of Jalen Hurts, not only with a more dynamic run style that he has, but also with the pass catching, right?
He's an amazing player.
I think that the Eagles can get back to kind of being that a run first team, to run the ball without putting 800 yards on the legs of their quarterback and risking, which I think there was some, of course, there wasn't a lot of news and media around it, but there could have been a mild injury of some sort of one Jalen Hurts that was not
open. It would make sense for their slide.
For how they played, exactly. Yeah, so I think that's one thing that they could be curbing with this acquisition. So I think it's going to be a good one. He didn't go too far, upset a whole lot of people staying in the division.
Yeah.
Going to a division rival.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think that, you know, the Eagles are not one, especially with Howie Roseman, they're not one to take it lying down. They are get on top of it. Let's fix and address the problem. And so we've seen a lot of that, I think, in this offseason with them. And this is a big one.
This is a big one. So the rumor is that the Giants organization did not want to see him go. But I mean, that's how it is, nature of the business.
Yeah.
So anyway, does this make the Eagles the top of that division clearly?
Yeah, I think so.
So the Commanders are going to be full on rebuild mess.
Right.
Who knows what's going to happen with them.
Well, you got Dallas, though. So that's...
I was going in order. And then the Giants. The Giants, I think we've had this conversation work several times. Daniel Jones is... Who knows what's going to happen.
A lot of that is going to be on him. And that receiving core, too. So they do have a new... I should have been more prepared for this. The rookie receiver
over
there, too. But I think that for right now, it'll be a battle again, as usual,
and then
between Dallas
the Cowboys.
The
Cowboys are mostly the same team. A couple changes on defense. They lost... A couple people lost the lineman to the Jets, who was one of their better guys. He'd been hurt more. We'll talk about him a tiny bit later.
Right.
But mostly the same team. So I think it'll be back and forth, those two. Very similar to last year. Competitive games.
And then with Dak and his contract, this is basically Jerry Jones telling him.
This is last year.
This is it.
Yeah. I tend to agree with Jerry. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. You need to get into the playoffs and through some of the playoffs now.
Right.
There's no more sitting on the sides.
I like the gentleman's agreement, though.
Yeah.
If you will. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, so that's it for Mr. Saquon and DeAndre.
Yeah.
I like DeAndre Swift of the Bears. I think he'll play well. He had his best year last year. I think that was a good move.
You think so?
Yeah.
So what do you think about the comparison? This just came to me, too, of Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts versus, let's say, a Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, that kind of a dynamic quarterback, running back connection.
I like a little bit. Of course, Lamar's more of a runner. I think Derrick Henry will play a bigger role than people are going to give him credit for. I think he's at the end of his career. I think he's going to do very well. I think that was a very smart move by the Ravens to get him and get there.
Said they had worked on it for a while, actually, quietly. Yeah.
I think it'll be a nice end of his career, Derrick Henry, another chance to get a ring and stuff, because he hasn't really been close since that one year where the Titans got really far and they got knocked out in the playoffs early. If I was building a team, I'd rather have Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, okay.
And Saquon Barkley. I really would. The other, that's very formidable over there, though, too. I mean, Lamar just, we watched the games. We watched the playoff game. We saw them get knocked out by the Chiefs at home. We saw what happened. I felt like Lamar played well in that game. You know, there's some untimely turnovers, you know, by the rookie, Flowers.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean,
he's another one that hasn't had strong receivers, though, too.
Never. Right. So, and they'll still work on that. All right, on to another one. Mr. Kirk Cousins, now 36 years old, goes to what we thought was a possible landing spot for Russell Wilson, but he went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Surrounded by good young talent, literally in every corner.
Yes.
What do we think? If Kirk's had success everywhere he's been. He had a lot of success with the Commanders. He had a lot of success in Minnesota. The knock on Kirk is the same knock that's on Dak. They cannot get out.
Get in the playoffs.
Get in or get out of the first round. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in his case, Kirk, I mean, has he been to the playoffs once maybe? Once. Once, because they lost to the Niners a couple years ago.
Okay.
Minnesota did. So at least once that I can remember. But 36 years old, not a spring chicken anymore.
Nope.
He's got a fantastic running back behind him in Bijan Robinson. He's got a good tight end. Well, I make fun of all the time. He's got a good tight end. He's got a good receiving core. So what do we think?
So here's what I think. Kirk Cousins, like you said, that's the main thing. It's not those deep runs in the playoffs have eluded him, right?
Yeah.
And he's had some of the better talent in the league in doing so.
Certainly had it in Minnesota.
So in Minnesota, he's had very potent offensive weapons.
All over the place.
Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook. I don't know. Maybe you know, heard of one of those guys right? So, and now he's, again, just like you said, fairly stacked up in Atlanta. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, right? And the new running back pass catching extraordinaire Bijan Robinson, right?
Yep.
So, Atlanta, also, I think the main difference here, we saw the offensive line, I think, of the Vikings kind of go to pieces earlier on in the season. Now Atlanta's pretty solid there, though. So maybe the one piece that's missing is a capable quarterback, and I think they will have that in Kirk Cousins. I just think that it might look exactly like it did for him in Minnesota. Meaning with those same talents not being able to translate it into those deeper playoff runs.
So a step up from Desmond Ridder or not?
Oh, for sure. A step up from Desmond Ridder wasn't even going to get him close. Yeah. So, but I think at the end of the day, though, you just need that extra to get you over the hump. And I don't know that Kirk Cousins is. I mean, it advances the Falcons for sure.
So let's look at that division now. The best team is to Tampa in that division last year in a very, very, very close division. Carolina's still going to be not so great, we think.
Right.
New Orleans has a very good defense. Their offense, who knows? And then, so I'm thinking, if you're in agreement here, that it's going to be between Atlanta and Tampa again.
Again, right.
Yeah.
And most, Baker's playing great, so and most likely Tampa will take that division again, I think.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the guy who gets you a Super Bowl. I really don't. I don't think
Baker Mayfield or Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
Okay. No. No. And that's what I mean. I think it'll look exactly like it did in Minnesota. He will advance the Falcons team for sure, but not. It will be the same. No deep playoff run for them.
Definitely a competitive guy, but none of that. All right, we don't talk about linemen too much, but the Jets continue to try to build something around Aaron Rodgers gets older. His probably last year in New York, and they took Tyron Smith from the Dallas Cowboys. He'll protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side. Maybe more than as long as Rodgers can stay away from that turf in New York, everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. No more Achilles problems.
Right.
He has a hard time staying healthy. When he is healthy, they call him a generational talent. He's that good.
Wow.
You know, having somebody, and you never hear about linemen, you just don't. But that's a pretty big pickup for the Jets. Who knows? They're still putting pieces together in New York to try to build something.
Well, they still got, I think they have pretty good pieces already over there. The issue was the quarterback in New York.
Yeah. Now they have another, now Mike Williams, of course, doesn't stay healthy all the time, but they now have a true number two guy, you know.
Behind Garrett Wilson. Okay.
To throw to a decent tight end. We know about their running game. We know what Aaron Rodgers can be. We know that defense is very stout.
Breece Hall still there.
Breece Hall's core still there. If they stay healthy, they'll be very good. I mean, mm-hmm. just like we thought last year. And they've added pieces to make them better. I think that's a good move for Tyron Smith. I think it's a good move for the Jets. But you got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
You got to stay healthy. Now, that division, in my opinion, Buffalo got worse. Miami's kind of the same. And then New England's rebuilding.
I mean, right.
Full-on rebuilding. Now from top down. I mean, the post-Belichick era. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll go on to the next one. A big name. Josh Jacobs has left the desert and he's gone to Green Bay. He signed a big contract. 4 years, $48 million. Can he help Jordan Love? Can he help the Packers?
This one a lot.
The Packers were a playoff team this year. They played the Niners very competitively and got knocked out in the divisional round.
Like the fresh legs of Josh Jacobs in Green Bay.
Yep.
However, I think Aaron Jones was also very capable. Maybe
very
just
well.
A little bit soon getting rid of Aaron Jones. Just a little bit. Only because they were meshing so well, especially in the last stretch of the season. They came together quite nicely. And so to upset that momentum or them gelling together is kind of a risk you're taking when you bring in the Josh Jacobs, even though he's an incredible talent. Fresh legs, I think, will be a good addition to the team. But I think maybe a little too soon to
do you
let
feel like that was
Aaron
their
Jones,
biggest need?
Though.
I mean, that's the biggest thing they've done so far is going with Jacobs. I kind of feel like they could use a true number one receiver there because Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs was
I don't know.
But, I mean, a great talent. He played very well for mediocre Raider teams for, you know, the last 5 or 6 years or whatever it's been. I'm not sure about that move. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and I think as much as people like to say that the league has moved away from the run game, is still very necessary. And I think that shows. So they're always trying to shore up that position, I think. So rather than waiting maybe too late, I think they ended up moving a little too soon.
I think so, too.
On it.
He's also a great pass catcher, a good blocker. Yeah. So he's definitely a great football player. But I'm with you. I think the mix they had there was already good. It was kind of a strain. In a division that's pretty competitive with, you know, Detroit and Chicago trying to do it. I don't know if I'd have gone that way. But, hey, that's why these GMs make all the money. They make their decisions. we can question it, but who knows?
We just got to wait and see.
So here we go with our potential draft order and the landscape. We're going to go with just the first 10 off of the board. I have mine. Do you have yours?
I do.
All right, here we go. Number one, I think it's pretty clear to everyone in the football world these days.
Right.
It's got to be quarterback Caleb Williams, USC, to the Chicago Bears.
Agreed.
All right, so we'll go right into the second one. No need to talk about Caleb. They're saying that he's a generational talent. I watched several USC games with him. He is not my favorite quarterback coming out of college this year, but we'll see. All right, so next one, a fantastic talent. If he's what he is in college, I think he's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's got Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, wide receiver, to the Washington Commanders.
I did not agree with that one. I said they take a quarterback, I think.
Which one?
Drake May.
Drake May, I have him next. Yeah.
Yep.
Drake May, also fantastic. Of course, we'll go to three.
Okay.
So number three, I have Drake May, North Carolina quarterback to the Patriots.
You say Drake May to the Patriots? I say McCarthy to the Patriots. J.J. McCarthy
yeah.
way up to the Patriots.
That's up there.
Yeah.
yeah.
That is way up there.
Number four, probably the second best receiver, and obviously because he's number four, is Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU, to the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals have a hole at wide receiver now because Hollywood Brown is gone.
Yes.
So, and they need to give... I'm a Kyler Murray guy. I think he deserves the job. They just got to give him some help.
Yeah.
They have the fantastic tight end,
Trey McBride.
There we go. Really, really good. The rookie coming into his second year.
Yeah.
I think Malik Nabers would be a great. They have other needs there too, but the true number one wide receiver is important. He's a good one.
So I went Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals.
It's definitely possible. I think it's going to be receiver either way.
I think
I could see that too.
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yep. All right, next one I have at fifth, I have Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Really?
Who very much need a tight end.
Mm-hmm. So I went actually Malik Nabers there. I mean, they just cleaned house.
Yeah, Keenan
they just
Allen's
got
gone.
Rid of Keenan Allen.
Is gone.
Who's he going to throw the ball to? Yeah, so I think they go wide receiver.
Gone. They're all gone.
Yeah.
It's a whole new ball game in L.A.
Yep.
Interesting. All right, next one. One of my favorite wide receivers. A lot of good wide receivers this year. A young man named Romeo Odunze. I would say it wrong. He's a wide receiver from Washington, the Huskies, going to the New York Giants, who need another receiver.
They do need another receiver. I did not. I went with Joe Alt, actually.
He's my
for
next.
The New York Giants. And with...
Jake Line.
Yes. So I think with a pass protection, with... what's his name? Their quarterback coming back from an injury.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes.
I think that they take another piece to kind of shore that up. So, yeah, I went with, I did not go wide receiver, although I could see why you went white.
Yep. So seventh, I took Joe Alt. He's probably the number one offensive tackle coming out. Notre Dame led them to a very good season to the Tennessee Titans, who need a little bit of everything everywhere. At seven, you have?
At seven, I went Dallas Turner, actually, to the Titans.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, but, you know, and hindsight, I think that they probably after you know getting rid, but I don't know how high a running back would come after getting rid of Derrick Henry, and then they still do have Tajay Spears. And did who else went there? Someone else traded there to the Titans, so which is why I went with a linebacker. Which
I think Tajay Spears is
going to
be excellent. A lot of us we were high on him last year. He had a couple of games. Yeah, I don't think running back is a huge need for them, but they definitely need people to open holes for him. Mm-hmm. So. That's just Joel for me.
Yes.
All right, number eight, another quarterback, and I like this guy quite a bit too. It's the LSU quarterback, Jaden Daniels, to the Atlanta Falcons. I know the Falcons just got, we just talked about 3 seconds ago, they got Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins is 36 years old. So here they could have somebody to back him up and play and stuff.
This is true.
Who do you have at eight?
So at eight, I am not sure how to pronounce this, but I went with a linebacker again, and that is, oh gosh, I'm going to give it a shout, Leiatu Letau?
Yeah.
Yep. So I think they will again. I think they're set on the offensive pieces. Yeah. You know what I mean in terms of the skill player positions for the Falcons. I don't think they necessarily need to add because who's backing up Kirk Cousins? I think they got someone else too. I can't remember. Yeah. I can't recall. Yeah. But yeah,
the guy you're talking about is probably the best defense. He was hurt in his freshman and sophomore, I think. But UCLA guy. Probably the best. He won all the awards, defensive end.
Yeah,
truly fantastic player. All right, on to number nine. I'm going to go with Troy Fontenot. He's an offensive tackle for the same Washington Huskies.
Okay,
the Chicago Bears.
You went with offensive tackle.
Yeah, they need somebody to protect their new star man.
And I went with J.C. Latham. Same position, different guy.
Yeah. Same idea. Somebody to protect Caleb.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have an offensive line, doesn't matter how good your quarterback, running back, and stuff, because your guy be running for his life. Okay, number 10, final last one of the 1 through 10 we went through here, Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU to the New York Jets.
Brock Bowers to the New York Jets.
Either way,
incredible tight end.
That's a win-win for the Jets. Yeah. If the Jets get Brock Bowers, watch out. I mean, on paper, they're as good as anybody.
I think they got a good shot.
They should. All right, so we'll recheck our 1 through 10 a little bit later. We'll see how our 1 through 10 shakes out for us later in the offseason. We'll have a pre-draft show. Just to see if there are some last-minute changes, and then a post-draft show to see how we measured up to the real live NFL war rooms. But for now, we continue our deep dive into each of the league's divisions. This episode, we switch conference and take a look at the NFC West. Last episode, we discussed the AFC West, but there were some major changes in that division over the last few weeks with the Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos.
Yeah, I think we went through those too.
We talked about a little bit. The biggest ones, of course, are Chargers and who they had to cut bait with, pretty much changing their whole offense with the exception of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Broncos, the Russell Wilson experiment is over. The Raiders, no more Josh Jacobs. We've talked about their quarterback need. We both like the Raiders a little bit, but they need to fill the hole at quarterback. And then the Chiefs, just the strong get stronger. So, they'll be a handful. So we'll start with the NFC champions and the NFC West champions.
Okay.
Finished number one in the division, the San Francisco 49ers. One word to describe the 49ers?
I'm going to say dominant.
I like that one. This past season, I will say it was a disappointment. Really? They thought it was their year to win the Super Bowl. They just couldn't get there.
Yeah.
All right, best attribute.
Best attribute. I'm going to say their offensive just efficiency. So the Niners are 16-0 in games with a healthy Brock Purdy, CMC, and Deebo Samuel, agreed. Right? This is a team with 9 Pro Bowlers, and when they are firing on all cylinders, I've heard them compared to, like, it's trying to play the Avengers out there. There's just, like, no stopping them. And so I think when you have so many good pieces at so many different positions, that next man up mentality and the likelihood of that being a success is so much greater.
Yeah.
So because everybody's picking up the slack from wherever it falls down. So they're incredibly efficient in that way.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's their best probably team attribute for me.
I went resilience because there were some games, the NFC Championship, the NFC Divisionals, where they could have lost. They were fighting, they were struggling. Mm-hmm. And then they had Ayuk with his butterfly on his shoe, and they had this and they had that, and they had a lot of things go their way. So they're a resilient team. And like you said, surrounded by Pro Bowlers. Christian McCaffrey has another 1,500-yard season with 21 touchdowns. They'll be just fine next year.
Yep.
Okay, so their worst attribute.
I'm going to say I think they got a little complacent. I think complacency. So in the postseason in particular, I think there are times when we see those elite teams kind of look past their competitors as they – continue that march towards the Super Bowl. And I think we saw that happen twice for the Niners, that they almost didn't get, and they almost didn't get past with Green Bay and then the following week with the Detroit Lions. So they were able to squeak by the Packers with 21-24. Same thing the following week with the Lions, who basically kind of beat themselves out of a significant lead.
Interesting play calling.
Again, like the reason I went with the term dominant is because, wow, this is getting away from us. Let's reel it back in.
Yeah.
And to be able to turn that on and actually do it is an incredible feat, especially on the NFL level at this, playing on this stage. So, yeah.
Okay, for me, their worst attribute is their secondary. That was the one thing they gave up a lot of yards chucking, as we saw in the Super Bowl. Their secondary kind of what ended the game for them, which leads me to their biggest need for me is a cornerback. Shutdown cornerback.
And that's what I had. I said either another pass rusher on the other side of Nick Bosa or the corner.
Yeah.
But they're drafting at 31.
31, yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, what's...
And I have his needs as another offensive tackle or lineman, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody to go off Trent Williams or a cornerback. So in the first round.
In that first round, who do you think they might end up with?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but something in that two category, anything outside of that, I'd be kind of surprised.
Right.
All right, so we'll go to acquisitions and movements for the 49ers so far. They released one of the originals, Eric Armstead. It's finally gone. He's one of the original linemen. He actually had a pretty good year, had a good playoffs. Additionally, Chase Young is now gone. The 1-year experiment, he's gone to the Falcons.
Yeah.
No, not the Falcons.
The Saints.
No, Saints. Saints. Yeah. The Saints. Yeah, the Saints.
Yeah.
And they signed another defensive lineman. Pretty much good run stuff from Malik Collins from the Texans for a 7-round pick.
And they also got a backup in Josh Dobbs.
Yes, saw that. He is the modern day. Who are we going to equate him to? Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's nice. I think
he had a funny year, didn't he, Dobbs? He started off pretty well, and then he kind of bounced around in a couple tough games. But hey, you never know. All right, one word to describe the upcoming season for the 49ers.
I think they dominate their division again, cakewalk for them. So,
I say Super Bowl, of course.
Super Bowl.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
All right, on to the next one. Surprised everybody a little bit by making the playoffs and being very competitive in the playoffs, too. The NFC West second team last year, the Los Angeles Rams.
Yep.
One word to describe the past season for the Rams.
Unexpected.
Overachieved.
That's what I believe. You think so? It was unexpected.
Overachieved is a good thing. All right, their best attribute.
Best attribute. Their wide receiver room. They struck gold, right? With the rookie receiver, Puka Nacua. When Cooper Kupp went down early in the season, Puka stepped right in. And then everybody was he did extremely well, of course, we know. Mm-hmm. And everybody was so worried about what it was going to look like when he came back.
Yep.
And what it meant for him and Cooper
Kupp. Didn't matter much.
Didn't matter at all. The answer is awesome. They both combined for over 2,000 some odd yards, 11 TDs together. Yep. So that's... I think that's a pretty strong one that we'll be contending with until things change over there.
Agreed. I put in the same thing. I put in rookie class, Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams.
Kyron.
So the two rookies came in and played extremely well for that offense. Old man Stafford did his thing. I think mm-hmm. we'll see more of the same next year. All right, worst attribute for the NFC.
Their worst, I said, was actually old man Stafford, as you to call him. No, yeah. Not because he does not play well or isn't. I think that he's getting, like we say, a little long in the tooth. And he's only got a couple more, I think, under him, as a Ram at least. And I think that being in those like twilight times of the career, I don't think they've done the best job at preparing for the next phase, right? Yeah. So now you've got this super solid outstanding receiving core, and you may end up having quarterback trouble with, and that's got to be one of the most frustrating things to deal with. And so I think that is on the horizon. They just recently acquired Jimmy G.
Yep.
But that's not saying very much. I mean, they're not gonna, I'm sure they have no intention of him being a starter for any stretch.
That's just in case.
Exactly.
All right, so on to the biggest need for our Rams friends. What do you think?
Well, now they need a new Aaron Donald, as we were gonna.
I'll get to him in just a second. Yeah. I put defense, just the whole thing. I mean, that's the worst attribute too, is their defense. The linebacker, safety, defensive line, you name it. They need it all. That defense is not good. So the fortunate for them, though, only one other team in that division is really good, and the other two are not. So but that's their biggest need. Draft outlook for me, I put a cornerback in there, 19th overall, a guy named Nate Wiggins from Clemson. He's a shutdown type corner.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
Maybe a quarterback, yeah. I think. Yeah. That could go as far down, maybe like a Bo Nix or something.
Yeah, I like Bo Nix quite a bit. Yeah. He had a great couple seasons up there in Oregon. Mm-hmm. All right, the time has come. We're finally there as we get to acquisitions and movement for the NFC Rams. The one, the only, Aaron Donald retires at 32 years old.
Yes.
8-time All-Pro. Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2014, 10-time Pro Bowler, that's every year pretty much, and Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
I say it over and over again. There was two defensive linemen in the NFL, one's gone now, that I would not want to meet in a dark room ever. And this is one of them. After he retired, he talked about the hard work that he put in day in, day out, and how he pushed himself. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of video of him talking to himself and getting himself pumped up for every game. So it didn't just come naturally. He did put work into it. Okay. And he was amazing to watch. And it was known around the football world that when you played the Rams, you had the scheme for Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Yep. The only one else I've seen like that in the last few years is Myles Garrett in Cleveland. So an amazing career, fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I am not a Rams fan. However, I am an Aaron Donald fan, and it was fun to watch him do what he did for all that time.
I mean, it could only be described as a decade of dominance for his career with them. And if you don't hear that sigh that you hear is the collective exhale of quarterbacks all around the league that Aaron Donald is no longer on the other side of that line for them.
And coordinators and all that stuff. You don't have to talk about double teaming and triple teaming and all the other stuff that came on with playing.
One of the best to ever do it.
One of the best to ever do it. First ballot Hall of Famer for sure. And I think he'll go in young as soon as he's eligible.
Oh, yeah.
All right. One word to describe the Rams in 2024.
Coming up, I'm going to say hopeful.
Yeah. Hopeful's a good one. I was going to put competitive. I think they'll still be competitive in the NFC overall.
That's a good one. I like that.
All right. So on to the number three team, the Seattle Zone Seahawks. One word to describe the Seahawks.
I think the Seahawks, they come up flat for me.
I put disappointing.
Okay. They're almost the same. Team. That's that's very similar. So I think the days of excitement coming to mind is kind of, I mean, they're still working towards that. It's left, I think, Seattle for so far.
All those runs, those years, Legion of Boom, Super Bowl runs, the great offenses and all that stuff that Pete Carroll's put out there over the years to where they are now. It's quite the change.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I do think, I mean, for their best attribute, still, I would still say DK Metcalf. He's becoming kind of the veteran or core of the team, right? He is going to be
pretty much their guy now on offense.
He's finished over with, 1,000 yards, 8 TDs. And I'm also going to say their standout cornerback rookie. We talked a lot about
Devin Witherspoon. That's why I put in the number 5 pick the year before from Illinois. Had a fantastic season, that really exciting game where he had to pick 6 to finish the game. A really, really good year for Devin Witherspoon. Something to build around. They will need others. Jamal Adams is gone. I never really thought. There was a rumor I saw recently that they tried to talk him to come back as a linebacker, not as a safety. Maybe a better role for him. Who knows? But they're really rebuilding all over the place for Seattle from pretty much everywhere down. They do have good – I like their running backs. They have some good offensive line play.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what to expect from Geno. He had one very good year, then one kind of mediocre year last year.
So, I think it was a little better than mediocre, though. He did okay. He finished, I think, where around maybe 4,000 yards, something like that.
Something
he did
like
okay
that.
There. I think the running backs are okay in Seattle, not necessarily my favorite. I think it could, that run game could be built up just a little bit. Yeah. Ken Walker Jr. finished with less than 1,000 yards this season, and the rookie, Charbonnet, I think he'll have to step up in a major way.
Yeah.
So, because that, I mean, in this division, 400 yards is not going to get in on the run. So, I think, you know, he's going to, in order to have a more significant, like, 1-2 punch in that backfield, he's going to have to do a little more.
Frankly, in that division, you have to be able to run the ball. So, you're going to see the 49ers. That's how you slow them down. You run the ball.
Yes.
So, all right. So we're going to go with worst attribute now.
So that was it for me. Yeah.
Okay. Mine's their rush defense. It was one of the bottom five in the entire league, which goes into their biggest need, defensive linemen, which goes into the draft. I said, like you said earlier, Latae Ulate, the defensive end from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you have for their draft outlook?
For their, so, well, first with their biggest need, right? So I think they should go with a tight end, actually.
Okay.
But they re-signed Noah Fant.
They did.
Which they gave him a pretty decent contract, but he hasn't done very much at all. He didn't do much for the Broncos either. So I'm puzzled at that. I think that I don't think Brock Bowers will fall as far as they are. They're right in the middle of the pack.
That's
at 16.
Pretty far down.
That
then.
Is
Could
pretty
happen.
Far down for him.
But
it's a tight end, so you never know.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of tight ends that get taken in the first round. So maybe if he does, I say they jump right on him. Or just like you said, if not, then the linebacker.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, anything to help out that defense if you get some pressure on the quarterback, because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
All right, so acquisitions so far, only one, and that's Sam Howell coming over from the Commanders. For the Commanders last year, almost just under 4,000 yards passing. And 21-21, 21 TDs, 21 INTs. He will back up Geno. Will he have a chance to play? Maybe. You know, it depends if he gets hurt or something like that. But Geno will still be the guy there.
Yeah.
He will have pretty similar tools to what he had in Washington and Seattle. All right. So one word to describe the upcoming season for the Seahawks?
I said, unfortunately, sounds mean, but still boring.
I put depressing. That's kind of funny. yeah, because they'll be sad. And Seattle, I give it to them. Of the cities that I travel all over, at least the west side of the country to do stuff, those fans are rampant. Mm-hmm. 12-man flag is everywhere. I see more disappointment for them, unfortunately. All right, on to the team that finished fourth, the Desert Cardinals, the NFC West bottom dweller. Arizona Cardinals.
Man. Not the bottom dwellers. That's harsh.
That's what they are, though, unfortunately.
Harsh.
All right, one word to describe this past season.
I said upward because they got no place else to go.
That's a good one. We'll go with that, too.
So, I mean, maybe this will be the worst to first. You know, we hear all the commentators talk about every year, the team that goes from worst to first, who could it possibly be? Maybe, just maybe it'll be this one. But like you said, I'm going to go best attribute, Kyler Murray.
Agreed.
I like Kyler Murray.
Me too. I couldn't agree more.
I said, say what you will about him, but he is a very talented playmaker when he is healthy.
Look what he did in the second half of last year. I mean, he did really well.
Exactly. He can use his arm and his legs to get it done. You just got to keep him healthy. And I added to the best attributes, Trey McBride, who we talked about.
I like Trey McBride quite a bit.
I like both of those guys.
I would happily have either of them on my fantasy team next year.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Okay, so worst attribute for the Cardinals.
Their wide receiver room.
Ugh, all over the place. I put it as worst attribute and biggest need. Wide receiver.
Yes, that's me. Same.
So good news is,
Hollywood Brown gone.
Yeah.
Same.
So like we talked about a few minutes ago, for me, fourth overall, Malik Nabers, the number one wide receiver coming out of LSU. He set a career record at LSU for over 3,000 yards receiving and was a unanimous All-American. I think he'd fit there.
At four, I'm stuck on Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm going to...
If he's there...
I'm willing to bet my life they end up with Marvin Harrison Jr.
You can't go wrong with either of those guys.
Yes.
Those are two true number one, should be good big names in the NFL for some time to come. All right, so acquisitions and movement so far. There's only one really big name of move, and we talked about it a tiny bit. Yeah. Hollywood Brown has gone to play with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. You got to like that if you're Hollywood Brown. You're going to play for this. Moving on up.
This is true. Desmond Ritter's backing up.
Desmond Ritter will be backing
and
up.
And then did you see they extended or re-signed DJ Dallas, the running back.
I like
he was
that.
Like a fourth string.
He was like a fourth. He was a
on
special teams
chart.
Guy. Yeah.
Okay, is that why?
Now
okay.
Now he's moved up.
All right.
So one word to describe the upcoming season for
I said
Arizona
not
Cardinals.
Upward on this one, but uphill. It's going to be a tough climb, I think, for them to dig themselves.
I put hashtag
out.
Number last.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. Who knows? It could be Seattle too. So, But there's a lot of time to make moves and do things before then. Okay, so next up, we're headed back to the AFC next show for a discussion of the AFC East Division. We'll talk about the Bills, Dolphins, Jets, and Patriots. All right, guys, I think that'll do for this week. Please do come back and hang out with us again next week. I think we're getting pretty good at this thing.
I think we're getting pretty awesome at this.
All right. Where to find us? Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, YouTube, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio. Remember to like, follow, rate, and review us on any of those platforms. These reviews are super important. Not only will help us get better, but the more you guys rate and review, the faster we move up in the podcasting charts, and we want that. And don't forget to like the follow the show on the Instagram at Air It Out Network. Support this podcast link in the show's description. Thanks again for listening and all the support. Signing off, this is the Air It Out Fantasy Football League podcast. Talk to you guys next time.
All right, see you guys.
Bye.
Bye. This podcast is written, produced, and recorded by me, Chantel Brown, and Joe Bishop as a part of the Air It Out Podcast Network. Recording mixed and mastered by Wodek B.